TalkZone.com.
From the 24-yard line, here's the give to Dufresne right up the middle. 20, 10, Dufresne dives in. Touchdown, Illinois. 24 yards for number 22, Daniel Dufresne. Touchdown, Illinois. And it's 30 to nothing.
A streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Good afternoon, Illini Nation. Episode number 3 of the year 2009-2010. Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. TalkingIllini.com. And we're produced by TalkZone.com. Mr. G, you're going to have a heck of a time today keeping me reeled in, I think, because as you could see all over the table, I got notes, I got papers, I got topics.
He's Oscar Madison.
I'm usually Felix, though, right?
No, but you're Oscar-like today. You've got stuff spread out here like writer in his living room trying to get his novel put together.
And because of that, I feel very conflicted because normally I'm Felix, the mild-mannered loyalist fan, and I'm still, you know, loyal, but, you know, I
don't think the Felix – I don't think you're really getting the Felix and Oscar – concept.
Okay.
I don't even want to go into it. You're so far off, it's not even funny.
All right. Well, I just want to take a step back. I think our first two shows this year have been terrific. I feel that with our website and our Twitter, we're every week.
We are two of the biggest twits we know, aren't
reaching
we?
Out, attracting more fans and followers, and providing a good service. And last week I felt that, I don't know, that maybe we got a little away from what we wanted to do, where we were telling it like it is, where I don't think we were overly critical. I think we were spot on. I don't think we, spoke directly to people, you know, in a personal way, insulting. And one of the things we do to kind of gauge.
So why are you questioning whether we did or
not?
Well,
I'm asking you how you feel.
I think that, you know, no regrets, just move forward. And you said what you said, and I said what I said, and we believe it to be true, and we believe it to be fair, and let's move on.
All right. Well, you know, one of the things we do, and that lots of other, thousands of fans do is, and how this show originated was our interest, and you turned me on to the chat boards. There's a couple national ones that are known for like recruiting information, and it's evolved to where, you know, one of our guests today, Jack Lyman, lives in Champaign. He's the reporter for Scout.com. Jack will be on later, and it's evolved into just providing us news during the week for practice, reporting on the games. They put up, you know, taped interviews, etc. And before or after our show, we put up a question or two from our show, from our guests, and to gauge the audience. And also we make a mention who we are. We don't hide behind that. And we say, you know, give us a listen, give us a try. And for example, last week, we brought up the subject of the coaching change. And Herb made an interesting point about he thought that now after one game at that time, the Missouri game, that Juice would maybe miss Loxley a little more than we all thought. And that it would take time to get more acquainted with the new offensive coordinator, even though they've been together by spring. That post, that question generated over 4,500 people looking in to inquire and over about 40 responses. And similarly, I did something this week after the game questioning in the blowout of ISU. I thought that Jacob Charest, who was a pretty highly touted recruit, and has been spoken highly of by the coaches and the media, this was the perfect time to get him a few snaps under center. There might not be another time all year unless both our quarterbacks get hurt. I started a thread on Scout, and again, thousands of people clicked into it, dozens made comments, and for some reason, the Scout people, I could only guess that they disagreed and thought that, no, Eddie should have played the whole game just like Coach Zook handled it. They disagreed with my opinion that they took the thing off the board. So I'm a little ruffled today, and you got to help me with this, because all in all, I think we're all passionate, diehard Illini fans. We're not trying to get people fired. We're just talking to each other about what's going on, being honest. And when there's positive, like there was Saturday, we'll talk about plenty of positives. But I don't know if negatives are negatives or they're just the truth that we're observing.
I think some people rely on the administration, rely on the staff for their living. So they don't want to bite the hand that feeds them. So that negativity on these boards is sometimes interpreted as fostering anti-team feelings in the press, amongst fans, and I think that the people who often run these sites believe that it's in their best interest to preserve a positive relationship with the staff or the administration. And so they try to steer away from negativity.
Well, you know, and I just want to reiterate to you and to our fandom that, you know, the original intent of the show, and it will always be the intent of the show, is to, number one, you know, have fun talking Illini with the fans. I love reading the chat boards. They're fun. They're funny sometimes. And up until this year, I really didn't get involved in writing too much or whatever.
He just learned how to type, actually.
I would rather talk than write or type. But now, you know, because we're trying to expand our brand, so to speak, I gotta do a little more typing. But our goal was to be a new voice, a refreshing voice, be fun, be entertaining, but also be honest and tell it like it is. And when, you know, when the opportune is there, there's plenty of good stuff to talk about, and hope that, you know, if recruits listen in or whatever, they're going to hear us talk good stuff about our university, our programs, our coaches, whatever. But, you know, when there's things going on that are, you know, that make us question, all we're doing is asking the questions.
The bottom line is that when we started this show, it was a fan show. It's not a journalist show.
It's not a report.
Excuse me. You can ramble for 20 minutes. I try to say seven words and I get cut off.
Okay.
It's a fan show. It started out as a fan show. We are fans of the university, like the guy sitting on his couch in the living room shouting at the TV because he doesn't like what the coaches are doing, or he thinks a player is messed up. We're not gonna stray from that mission. Our mission is to allow an outlet for fans to vent, for them to hear two fans venting about what they think is right and wrong with the programs. And I don't think we should necessarily stray from that. I think we should continue to do that. We're not reporters. We don't rely on the administration for our content. We can say what we please as long as we don't slander anybody or tell, you know, things that are out of school.
Okay, I feel better now. Let's, again, like we said, we got lots here. We got the game to talk about. There's still some aftermath from Missouri. Lindsey Wilhite, who writes for the Daily Herald, which I've been getting for 20 years in my neighborhood, and I feel like Lindsey's a brother because I read him every day. He's in there, wrote what I thought was a terrific article that came out Saturday morning prior to the ISU game. Again, the bloggers, the fans, they made comments about it, and I've got the article here. We'll get to that at some point in time and read some of that. Lot of questions again from the ISU game. What's your first question?
Well, you said something that was interesting. You said, we can talk about all the positives that occurred on Saturday.
You want to know what positives?
Yeah, and I'm you know, we ran the ball all right, but we ran the ball against a JV defense. What did we do that was so positive in that game? Tell me an area that you found us to be impressive on any level.
Well, like we said when we left the studio last week, you know, anything good would be couched, if that's the right term, by the fact that, well, it's only ISU. And that was the fact. But first and foremost, again, you know, I think someone...
What we said was that you'd be able to tell more from negatives than positives.
Right.
Because the positives were just a given. It was assumed that we'd be able to physically dominate ISU.
Well,
but now we need to talk about what areas didn't we physically dominate? What areas were we not mentally prepared? What areas didn't we execute in? And that list is a long list.
All right. Well, I have two. Before we start with that list, I have two positives. Number one, our first play of the game. Someone must have been listening to our show last week, whether it was the coaches or the coaches' friends that passed the word on. Because if you recall, and I didn't have time to have Dave go and dig into the archives, but I said here after the Missouri game that, and it's really no secret that Juice's bread and butter is running the option and all that, but I even said, forget about the triple option, the fake belly dive to the fullback. Just take the ball, sprint towards the wing, and either run or pitch it. And sure enough, they did that on the very first play like they were listening to us. And lo and behold, a huge hole opened up, and Juice got through and almost got a touchdown. So I thought I was thrilled that play call on the first play of the game.
And you think the coaches or a friend of the coaches ran that play because you talked about it and magically it happened on Saturday night?
No, I said that kind of facetiously and jokingly, but I find it very interesting that during the middle of the week, what was coming out of the coaches' interviews were answers that the writers were talking about on Sunday and Monday, and we were talking about on Tuesday, like, oh, you know something? I forgot against Missouri that, you know, maybe we should have run the ball more. We're maybe a better running team, things of that nature.
But Lindsey Wilhite said don't go into a triple option formation or power formation. He said spread it out and run. And you happen to agree with Lindsey about that. So it's not that you get into this running formation and you try to jam it down people's throats.
You run the option.
You run what worked in 2007 and what worked in early 2008, and you get back to what Juice does best. Because at the end of the day, if you're going to have a quarterback like Juice Williams, and he's going to be the pivot man, the point guard on this offense, you've got to cater the offense to his strengths.
Absolutely. And that's something they've gotten away from since the Ohio State game of 07. The other two positives I have here, and I am reaching a little, but number one, we ran the ball 46 times. And I found it funny, the Big Ten Network announcers, I don't know if there was their first game or not. I had never seen them before. I honestly had never even heard of them. But the one gentleman from Michigan, I believe.
McGee.
Yeah, he was a player years ago, huh? Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Yeah. I if I had to guess, I'd say maybe he was a tight end or something, but he didn't look like a tight end
either. I have no idea what he was like socially.
Yeah. The quick-witted Mr. G at TalkingIllinite.com. Give us a call, 888-463-6748. Match wits with Mr. G. And Mr. G's second blog of the year went up on our website yesterday, and we've gotten some comments on that, too. Another finely crafted piece. My hat's off to you. But let me get back. So the announcer said something like, well, now that Juice Williams, the Illini game plan was to pass a lot. Now that Juice Williams is out there, they're going to run with Eddie McGee. I don't know how correct that was, but because, again, as we said last week, I think until we start, you know, lining up the wins, you know, we got to run 2/3 of the time, you know, and pass 1/3. So we ran 46 times, and Eddie McGee, you know, was Eddie McGee. I don't think we saw anything new and different. Not terrible, not great. If Juice couldn't, you know, make the starting gate for any game or had to leave a game, you know, we've got Eddie McGee's experience. He's probably one of the better backup quarterbacks, you know, around. You know, there's some good and bad with him. But he was 13 for 17, so at least he found a way to hit open
guys. How many snaps did he fumble?
Well, right. That I said there's good and bad, and
but we should do a parody song, me and Eddie McGee.
We could do that. I'm sure by next week you'll have some. Maybe that'll be blog number 3. I'm sure you could come up with something really, really fancy and cute on that. No, I agree with you. Eddie McGee is Eddie McGee. Will he get better with more playing time? That some of these people agreed with Zook that he should play till the last second ticked off the clock in a 30-point ball game the other night. You're right. He fumbles snaps. He fumbles handoffs. When he runs, he's fast and has some moves, but he's very nimble. And that's another reason why he could be hurt anytime.
I want people to email us at talkingillini.com or, talkingillini@yahoo.com.
Correct.
talkingillini@yahoo.com or call us at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Specifically, I want to hear from Illini Nation how they felt about the fact that Zook was trying to add another score in a 4-touchdown blowout at the end of the game and wasn't just taking a knee. And had the shoe been on the other foot,
oh my goodness,
there would be howls throughout Illini Nation.
Oh, my goodness. We got a few minutes before break. I'd like to read an email we got during the middle of the week. You know, our fans, they listen to the archive show, they podcast, they think about us during the week, and they write to us. And here's a very poignant little essay from our friend Greg in Highland Park, and I'll try to get through this before the break. And this is something we could ponder during the break and then continue the show after we come back, and we'll have Jack Lyman in about 4:45. But Greg from Highland Park says, as you know, I'm not a big fan of Ron Zook. He came to Illinois with the reputation of a poor game coach. Since he's been here, he has done nothing to dispel that perception. In my opinion, he got lucky on one of the biggest decisions he had to make. During the Rose Bowl season, when we were playing Ohio State, there was a 4th and inches. He was ready to punt. In fact, he sent the punt team out. There was indecision on both teams about personnel. Ohio State had the wrong personnel on the field and called a timeout before we could punt. It was during this timeout that Juice supposedly persuaded Coach Zook to go for it. A quarterback sneak was called, and Juice got the first down. Illinois then rammed it down Ohio State's throat with Juice and Mendenhall getting first downs and running out the clock for victory. If Ohio State had not called that timeout and Illinois had punted, what would the outcome of the game have been? Ohio State would have had the ball with about 7-8 minutes to go on about their 25-yard line, down 1 touchdown. We will never know what would have happened, but if Illinois had lost, there certainly would have been no Rose Bowl. Also, the Cinderella season would have never happened. You know I bleed orange and blue. I hope the coaching staff gets this figured out, but I am not optimistic. ILL, Greg from Highland Park. And yeah, you know, the ifs and buts, that one little play at Columbus 2 years ago has got us to this point today where it got us through that season to the Rose Bowl. And Herb talked about continuity and timing. We're in year 4 or 5 with Zook, all of Zook's recruits and stuff. And I think we have a right to be excited and optimistic
if I were to say to you that if we went 8-4 instead of 9-3 in the regular season, we would have probably played in a Florida Bowl like the Citrus Bowl or something like that. We would have probably had a more competitive game. It would have energized our players and had them come back without the cockiness that they had after getting to the Rose Bowl in 2007. We would have had perhaps a better year in 2008. And maybe the program wouldn't be in this position right now if we had gone to 2 consecutive bowl games. And Zook wouldn't be feeling the pressure he's feeling having not gone to a bowl game last year. So, you know, you can hypothecate, you can speculate, you can say that this would have happened or that would have happened, but the truth is, this is what happened and here we are.
Yeah, I just thought it was a well-crafted piece by Greg and deserved reading and interesting to ponder. We're going to take a break now, Mr. G, and come back in a minute at TalkingIllini.com. Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G, produced by TalkZone.com. Give us a call, 888-463-6748. That's 463-6748. Or email us at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
All the talk, all the time. This is TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio.
Shotgun snap back, McGee. Quarterback draw. 10. Running left, 5. Touchdown, Illinois. Eddie McGee runs it in from 11.
You're talking Illini on TalkZone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
You know, Boz, I'd like to give a special shout-out and thanks to our two lead sponsors, Joe Rizzacars, joerizzacars.com, a great friend of the show, and also to Larry Weiner and Pat Cunningham from Lakeview Athletic Club, Lincoln Park Athletic Club, Evanston Athletic Club, and the West Loop Athletic Club. Those guys have been great as well. Good friends all, supportive of the show. Supportive of Illini Nation, thank you very much. You know, I saw Howie Mandel Sunday night at a benefit concert. The guy was pee your pants funny. I'm not even kidding. He tells about going. He's a hypochondriac, a germophobic.
Right.
He's manic. He tells about going to a new doctor. So he gets to the doctor, and he's supposed to have this like 35-year-old whiz kid doctor. The doctor is sick. He's upset about this. They give him a 75-year-old doctor as a replacement. He goes into the examining room. The doctor gives him 150 questions. Howie is just bored to death. He's screwing around with them. He's giving them wrong answers. The doctor says, is there anything else that you want to tell me about your health condition before we get into the next part of the exam? And Howie Mandel goes, yes, my testicles emit a buzzing sound at night. So the doctor gets down, and Howie drops his drawers. The doctor gets down on his hands and knees, takes his manhood in his hands, and presses them to his ear, listening for the buzzing sound. He says to Howie, I can't hear a thing. Howie Mandel looks at him. He goes, I think they're light sensitive. The doctor gets up, turns off the lights, gets back down on the floor, and starts listening again. And Howie Mandel is going, He looks up at him. He goes, you were making that noise. Got banned from the practice and was told never to show up at the practice again. I didn't expect to laugh as hard. I was crying. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, Howie Mandel. His first, what was the show he was first?
Sane Elsewhere.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I want to acknowledge and make
can
you aware.
Can you say testicles on the air? Is that okay?
You just did.
Okay.
Yeah, even plural. You got both of them in. Mike Zeeland. Do you know Mike?
I do not know Mike.
Mike, what's the right word?
Tweeted.
I keep wanting to replace the E with an I, and I'd get in big trouble there. But Mike tweeted us during the week and said, just found out about you guys. Listen to the last podcast. It was great. Thanks from this Phoenix Illini. BTW. What does that mean?
By the way.
Okay. By the way, get the ball to Human. That was another positive. Michael H. caught three balls for 52 yards.
Three balls. That would be equate to a
not even
a 36 catch season. And I would say that would be less than outstanding.
Well, at least he got on into the scorebook.
I want to read our friend Brett Booth's email. I've thought all week about what you said, that we wouldn't learn anything, even if we won 81-0. I thought you were right, and I moped about it all week and where our program is headed, and we're witnessing another five identical years to Ron Turner. Two bad season, one BCS, two bad season. What good is having all these athletes that they can't play football? And it's time to pull the fire alarm and start planning for the 2010 season with McGee or Shielhouse as quarterback. I also had thoughts around how come we don't run the option attack like we did in the Rose Bowl year? Why do we think that Juice can be a pocket passer? Last, I wondered, was I really too easy on my grades from the last game? Like you thought, are we a C team? Are we an average team? Then I watched the game, and then this was his breakdown. He had quarterback C+, running backs A, wide receiver C, offensive line C-, defensive line A, linebacker C, defensive backs D-, overall C-. So what do we learn? Zook is becoming a rerun of book quotes. Our defense needs some work, but things that we can correct for the next game. How often does he say this? How often does it not get corrected? Hot seat. Still has two defensive coordinators. As you said last week, the back seven are helpless out there. And, you know, I really believe that we are, at best, an average football team. At best.
You know, obviously, I'd like to think differently, and I hope that, you know, maybe in these next 2 weeks something will happen where we'll start seeing a team that we thought we were going to see. Brett mentioned the receivers. Okay, I got two issues. In the middle of the week, actually last week even, we heard about this before we went on the air. Due to Cumberland and Jenkins' poor play against Missouri, one of the big headlines last week before we went on the air was changes in the receiving corps. We're going to start Cordell Scott. Chris James is going to see some action, and Freddie Sykes, who I thought had a very solid freshman year. He showed good hands. He showed good.
He was probably our best route runner.
Yeah. Correct. So what happens this past Saturday? There's no change in the starting lineup. Cordell Scott, and I asked this on the boards, and we'll ask Jack Lyman, and we read where the scribes asked the coaches. I didn't see him going out for passes. I saw him on special teams, although our friend Jeff Johnson at Rivals told me he started playing scrimmage like in the third period or so. James, I don't know that he got on the field. And Sykes might have caught one ball. So the answer, Zook was asked this question.
Dave, have you been following Boz the last couple of minutes?
I thought you said Cordell Scott was going to start. And all the writers have this in their tape and notes or whatever. His answer was, I didn't say that. And then someone else said, well, Pry said it. Regardless, everyone was expecting him to see some meaningful minutes, and it didn't happen. I read something today. Pry's excuse, or answer rather, was, well, Duvall was blocking very well on the outside, and we needed that. So a lot of the answers that they gave that we wanted to hear, they didn't even follow through with.
We got our first email back on taking a knee. This is from Craig Brown, a regular and loyal listener of the show. I didn't see the very end of the game, but I always defer to playing with class. Was running those plays equivalent to trying to run up the score? I don't know what the thought was for what they were doing. The outcome of the game was clearly known, but given that they didn't cover the spread, doesn't make it seem like they were trying to run it up in terms of the point spread. The flip side is, if you're going to pay somebody $350,000 in this case to come in and be your scrimmage B slash 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 slash.
You could say that.
I don't know. I have a daughter. Then you can do what you want with the scrimmage. For Greg and HP, there are typically plays like that in every game. Look at how many games Illinois has lost with a tough fumble or bad call. Things happen. Take the good with the bad. That's why they keep score. I think Greg's point was that Zook got lucky on the call.
Yeah.
It was a decision call as opposed to a referee's decision or the bounce of a ball.
In regards to that last email, again, it was baffling. On one hand, you want to get guys in, you want to get snaps, although Green had a few carries earlier, looked very good, and they gave him the ball on the last play of the game, didn't quite get in. I'll address some of that in another minute or so with my Charest question.
Let's talk about four things. The four things I want to talk about, and this relates.
I want to get back. I got one more thing on receivers too.
Go ahead.
Well, go ahead. We could.
No. I want you to.
Well, the other thing receivers is the Ben question. We asked all last year, you know, why isn't he getting the ball more? And then again, Saturday we go out, he played 55 out of 70-some snaps. I don't know what the number is. I had it written down here. But he played two-thirds of the offensive snaps. And, you know, not that you go out there trying to keep guys' records and streaks going, but he had a streak stopped for catching one ball in every game. Now, questions arise, well, first, we didn't even know if he was going to play, if he was healthy enough. They wanted to get him out there. They wanted to see if he could play. So you could do that for 10 snaps, not for 20 or 30 if need be. And again, it's only ISU. And you could get hurt just as easy not running, not having the ball in your hands, or not being involved in blocking plays, or not being touched like Juice got hurt, wasn't touched. So the excuse was, you know, one thing was, well, you know, we didn't want to get him too involved. We just wanted to see if the ankle was okay. Then I heard on the other hand, oh, there were plenty of plays called for him, but Eddie didn't see him or went to another progression. And again, which is it? And he's our best guy. Everyone says he's going to the NFL. He's gonna be the highest first round draft choice with the lowest amount of catches and touchdowns out of any guy ever in college football, maybe. And if Decker at Minnesota, who's like, you know, maybe, can you name another receiver on Minnesota?
No.
Okay. Decker is like, say, their only guy. He gets the ball. He catches 8, 9, 10 balls a game. And supposedly we got all these other guys too, and we can't get our best guy 5 catches a game. Maybe, answer that for me.
Maybe it's the quarterback.
Okay. Maybe it's the quarterback.
I'm not sure. But here are the four areas that I want to talk about. Penalties.
Oh.
We rank 11th so far. It's only 2 games into it.
In the Big Ten.
We rank 10th in the 2008 season in terms of, 10th worst team in penalties, and 9th in the Rose Bowl year of 2007. We are hovered near or at the bottom in terms of turnover ratio every year under Zook. Our special teams, which Zook took personal responsibility for, have been abysmal. In 2 games this year, Santella is averaging 36.9 yards per punt.
Last in the Big Ten.
Well, 10th. I don't know who's... maybe the 11th guy hasn't punted yet. And then the last thing I want to talk about is our coverage schemes and our personnel. Because the back 7 doesn't seem to be able to cover anybody. And when Brock Spak at halftime of the Illinois State game on Saturday night said, "We've got guys running free all over the field. We just need to find a way to get them the ball." That was true and embarrassing.
Yeah, and again, defensively, if we have these athletes, we have to let them play, not just kind of, trot back, give guys a 10-yard cushion, and then come up and hit. And to me, it only looks like we have like one scheme. It's like a pitcher with one pitch. You need a couple different pitches and change it up and give the other team a different look and play hard and aggressive.
Before we get Jack Lyman on the phone, I'm going to go through the blog too. And the title of blog 2 is Fool's Gold. The art of illusion can apply to football scores, precious metal, or women wearing makeup, or too much makeup. But all that glitters is not gold, and Illinois' lopsided victory against the 1AA Redbirds leaves little luster as the game fades in our rearview mirror. The plucky yet undermanned Redbirds, led by first-year coach Brock Spak, played with poise and purpose until the final whistle prevented the Illini from adding a meaningless score. In fact, the final Illini drive would have drawn howls of protest had the shoe been on the other foot. Regrettably, we are a program without an identity. We lack the discipline and character necessary to transform ourselves into a consistent winner on and off the field. The coaching staff must accept responsibility for a defense that covers no one, and elicited the following comment that I just said to you about Brock Spak. Indeed, they were, and ISU did get the ball to them to the tune of 354 yards. At times, it looked like our pass defenders thought they were playing flag football, and arm's reach was enough to down the opponent. Hicks, Bellamy, Edwards, and Hardiman appear to be playing the cover 2, T-O-O. Change the scheme and alter the personnel. 13 penalties for 115 yards could be overlooked if we're an aberration, but sadly, that has been what has become the norm from a team that lacks discipline and execution and technique. Special teams continue to be an albatross on a team with more problems than virtues. Big Ten experts routinely rank our talent in the upper echelons of the conference, and yet we're outplayed by less talented squads with frequent regularity. I'm not ready to give up on the season or these kids, but the staff needs to coach players up and find a way to win or forever lose faith and confidence of Illini Nation. One winning season in 5 years will not suffice, and the AD and the head coach must fix this post-haste or accept full responsibility for their collective failure and bear the consequences. The upcoming schedule appears daunting, with away games at improved Purdue and Indiana and a revitalized Michigan squad visiting Memorial Stadium in contests that looked like sure wins in the preseason and now loom as potholes on a treacherous path. In fact, there are no easy wins left on the schedule after watching the first 2 games. Cincinnati, on the road and Fresno State at home appear as threatening clouds in a gathering storm for a team that may be reeling and beaten down from a rugged Big Ten schedule. I'm looking at my computer screen and I feel like I'm staring into the equivalent of the Illini football abyss. But all is not lost. Stop being passive and establish aggressive defensive schemes. Football is a game of controlled violence, and the Illini need to define themselves as feared warriors worthy of opponents' respect. Pittsburgh coach Mike Timlin, when asked who would win last Thursday's game against Tennessee, responded without hesitation, "The most violent team." Let's start by playing press coverage and blitzing from different angles when on defense. Play kids who perform with abandon within the rules and care more about winning than personal glory. Demote or fire assistant coaches based on measurable performance standards. These may be desperate times, but the talent is present and the spirit is willing. Show us leadership that speaks to the concept that we would rather die with a sword in our hand than be beaten to death with our own shields.
You know, we've talked about it time and again, and there were coaching changes this year, and maybe there'll be some next year. And every time we ask the question, we get, well, you know, this is Zook's defense. This is Zook's special team. This is his scheme. Yeah, other teams are licking their chops coming in to play us, you know, and throw the ball around. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we get a little pass rush. And our guys are playing back, just giving guy, let him catch him in front. And then we're not the greatest tacklers of all either. So that becomes a problem.
Kyle from South Park says, he's not really from South Park. He's just Kyle.
Sox Park,
South,
you say?
South Park. There's a character, Kyle, on South Park.
Okay.
Cartman, Kyle. Okay. Gotta say, I don't think Zook would ever allow the changing of schemes you and every Illini fan are calling for. He just isn't willing to be that aggressive for fear of the big play, which ironically happens anyway.
You know, he said more than once that he runs this offense because as a defensive guy, it's hard to stop. But so he still hasn't figured out how to stop it. And to date, you know, our offense isn't running it with extreme precision as well.
We're going to have internet guru Jack Lyman on after the break. You can call Jack or have questions for us at 888-463-6748 or email us at talkingalina@yahoo.com.
You make plans for just about everything, for the weekend, for the vacation, for your daughter's wedding. But have you created a financial plan for the rest of your life? Now may be the perfect time to do it. AXA, Financial Protection. For more information, call Stephen King, Financial Consultant, 224-554-8053. That's 224-554-8053. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. We'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including 4
Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com.
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Now, back to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Boz and Mr. G.
Music to my ears.
You like that, huh?
I love it. You know, one thing the fans got to know in Peoria, man, on Scout, if you don't like us for some reason... If you go on our site and look at our bios, you know, we've been around a while. We're very passionate. If you go in the history books and go through the years that we've started following this team and going to games, you know, we're way, 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 way under 500. Yet we still support this team because we bleed orange and blue.
Speaking of support, our friends Larry Weiner and Pat Cunningham have been unbelievably supportive of the show. Lincoln Park Athletic Club, Lakeview Athletic Club, Evanston Athletic Club, and West Loop Athletic Club. These guys are great. They run great health clubs. Call Pat or Larry and tell them that Boz and Mr. G sent you.
Absolutely. And either before the game or after the game, I get to the health club and work out and get fired up for the game. And then if it doesn't come out the way I want, I go back and Boz, get my frustrations out.
Boz used to wear a man's ear, but now he's going braless.
You
it's
like
all
it,
because of
you?
that extra work in the gym.
You like, yeah, Mr. G, when he walks in the studio every Tuesday, first thing he looks at is my upper pectoral area. Speaking of which, someone said Martez's problem. Again, you hear two things. One is a sprained neck, and I read somewhere else where he had some kind of pectoral muscle problem. Maybe Jack could straighten us out on that. Did you see that anywhere?
No.
Okay. Do you know what pectoral muscle is?
Yes.
I would think you would, a man of your stature.
Yes, but, you know.
You don't want to explain it to me now. Jack Lyman is our guru down in Champaign, works for Scout.com, covers both football and basketball, covers the current daily events of the team, the practices, the games, and also covers recruiting. He's a jack of all trades, no pun intended. We want to welcome back to Talking Illini, Jack Lyman. Jack, how are you today?
Fine, thanks for having me on.
No problem, no problem. First question out of the box, I want to ask you, I'll pick a little fight here, because you did respond to my question on the thread about Charest. First, let's start with the situation. Let's get right to the Charest question. A majority of people think that he should have seen some snaps for a variety of reasons that we'll get into. Some people agreed with how the game went and said, no, I'll buy what Zook's selling me, and we needed our second-string quarterback to get as many snaps as he could. What's your side of that issue, and what did you hear? What were the answers you heard out of the coaching locker room?
Well, first and foremost, you know, I was aware ahead of time that this might be a problem, and I tried to warn some people on our site that, you know, not to get their hopes up. I really like Jake a great deal, and I spent a lot of time talking both him and his dad, and they're really wonderful people, and I really support you know, them, and hope that that Jake can have a great career at Illinois. But that said, early this fall, I asked Coach Beathard about his progress, and he said that. He said, well, let's leave it like this. He said he needs to pay more attention to detail. And I think what that means is that much of these decisions about how much playing time, not just at quarterback but at all positions, a lot of it is determined not on the playing field but in the meeting rooms when they're going over film, talking about strategies, how to read defenses, all those different kinds of things. And that requires a lot of study and a lot of focus and a lot of repetition. And Jake really hasn't had much opportunity in terms of repetition and practice. And then, of course, if he's not studying it as diligently as he needs to, that would contribute to him not getting on the field. Also, I think the reason this has been brought up in his case and not in other cases is that, you know, quarterback's such an obviously important position, and people focus on that. But there have been a lot of players over the years that have not gotten playing time because they either you know, didn't work hard enough in practice, or because they didn't know the system well enough yet, or they just weren't ready. And the coaches don't want to reward them for something that they haven't yet accomplished. And so I think that's a big part of it. Plus, I think in the case of McGee, his confidence boost was tremendous after this game, because he's never really started and finished the whole game himself. Now, he didn't actually start this, but, you know, one play difference, basically. And I guess two plays, excuse me. But anyway, he was able to finish the game out, and I think that was part of what their thinking was, too, because knowing he did carry the team all the way through now gives him a much greater desire to work hard, to prepare every game, even if he's not going to get in it, and then that'll help him for next year. So there's a whole bunch of factors involved, but I think the first and foremost one is that Jake just hasn't had much opportunity to put pressure upon McGee as a second-string quarterback yet. And in fact, and not to keep talking here, but last fall when Charest was a freshman, he was kind of in limbo. He had to be ready to get reps, you know, as a possible player for the varsity as a freshman, if indeed Juice and Eddie went down with injury. So he had to stay with the varsity in practices every week, when he could have perhaps at least been working with a scout team and getting some reps, just to, you know, practicing against the defense. He didn't get any of that, and so as a result, he kind of just stood around. Now, he did get to, you know, do this with the headsets and stuff like that, but that's not quite the same as actually getting reps in practice. And so he's only had the spring and then a couple weeks in Camp Randul before they started working on game preparation, and it just hasn't been enough for him yet.
Well, you know, most of what you said makes sense, you know, as far as the opportunity and what you just said about last year being in limbo, that sounds like a little disorganization, mismanagement or something along those lines. Now, as far as getting hopes up, I'm not pleading for him to play because I think he's terrific and is going to be the next Kurt Kitner or whatever. But just from a practical, common sense position, your number one guy goes down. You have no idea what the status is. And Eddie McGee, you know, we know, yes, he needs as much time as he could get, but, you know, what he did Saturday night is what he's done every time he's been out on the field. And looking at his body, he's fairly fragile and he could be hurt any time. So we're one play away from having to go to a guy who's never played. If there was going to be one game on the schedule, you would have had the point. The first day at Rantoul, if I was head coach, I'd be sitting down and saying, this is a game, you know, Charest is redshirted. This is a game we could get him on the field, whether it's 4 plays, 8 plays, 10 plays, just in case we need to go to a 3 this year. And it just.
I don't disagree with anything you said except the very first statement about the situation last year. Let me just get to that just real quickly. It was simply a case where they needed to try to redshirt Charest if they could, but they couldn't afford to take a lot of time out each practice to give him reps when they were trying to prepare the first two quarterbacks for a very complicated game plan for that week. I think that was probably something that is typical in that situation. It was no intention on the coach's part to keep him from getting practice time. It's just that there wasn't much available. As far as this year, I agree that it would be nice to have Charest get some experience, because that first snap, he's going to be nervous regardless. And if he can get that out of his system, you know, kind of relax and say, well, I've gotten into a game now, that'll help him and maybe even encourage him to work harder. But on the other token, if you have knowledge that Juice has just got a temporary problem, he's got 2 weeks to recover and will be healthy, you still have two quarterbacks ahead of Charest. And as a result, there's less need to get Jake in the game. I think if they'd known that Williams was going to be hurt badly, not only would have Charest gotten into the game, but probably got some meaningful reps, because they knew they would then have to prepare him to back up McGee.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
I'm not trying to defend him, because I wanted Jake to get in the game too. But before the game happened, that he was not going to get any.
See, to have that pre-decided, no matter how far or less along he is in preparation, to have that pre-decided to me is just, I just don't get it. Maybe it's because I'm a planner and I plan ahead. You know, the other thing is that, you know, come October, middle of October, November, you're going to see a lot of teams, I believe, affected. There's going to be players who aren't going to be able to make the bell on Saturday due to, you know, a bad case of the flu and sickness and all this that's going to be running rampant around college campuses. And you don't know, one day, you know, your 1 and 2 might not be available. And again, this was the perfect time to get the kids some snaps, get in the game for a good 5 to 10 minutes while we were up 30 points and it didn't happen. And again, not that I'm a big fan. Frankly, the couple times I've seen him, he hasn't blown me away with his skills. And that's, you know, you've seen him more than I. But just from a practical, common sense standpoint, the kid redshirted already, and it just seemed like a time to get him some snaps. But we'll move on, Mr. G's.
Let me just say one little quick thing here. I agree with most of what you're saying, but what we don't know is everything that led up to this decision. And let me just compare it, because last year in the Minnesota game, we had one last play, a long pass attempt, an alley-oop type of thing, in the hope that someone would grab it in the end zone for the winning score. And they didn't have Cumberland in the game, even though he's the tallest and, he's also a great leaper. But we found out much later than that Cumberland was not able to do any proper timing on alley-oops and could not be trusted to make that catch, so they didn't have him in the game. Well, we don't know all that goes on behind the scenes, you see, and so perhaps there was a problem that we don't know about. I'm not trying to defend the coaches, because like I said, I wanted Charest to be in there, but at the same time, I've seen this occur before, and in most cases, once you found out later, there was a good reason for it.
Jack, I don't want to continue to beat a dead horse here. Mr. G here. Hey, going forward this season, tell us where you expect this team to go. What is your ceiling and what is your floor for this team?
I know you were commenting about Martez before. I just wanted to let you know he did have a neck stinger. It wasn't a pectoral muscle. So the one who reported that was erroneous. Okay, he has a sore neck, or he did have one. So anyway, as far as the team this year, you know, frankly, it could go from one extreme to the other. The fact is that for a team to be successful, you not only have to play well, but you also have to have some lucky bounces. You have to have some confidence boosting types of games where you feel that momentum building. And this is the type of team that, much like 2007, could get on a roll if they get some big victories so early. Now, obviously, the schedule is terrible. And much of that is because of whoever created the Big Ten schedule. Putting Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan State up front, you almost wonder if there's a conspiracy against Illinois. I mean, I'm sure that's not the case, but boy, that's a terrible way to start the Big Ten. And so if you lose two or three of those games, your confidence is shattered, your guys are hurt and bruised, and you might have trouble with some of the other games. So then, like last year, it could fall apart on you. But if you can win one or two of those games, especially when you're in an underdog situation, then suddenly you gain more confidence, you believe in yourself, you practice harder, you play harder, the fans get behind you better, and then maybe you can win some of those games. And so, you know, we could go anywhere from, 1-11 to 11-1, but I'm not going to anticipate either extreme.
So let's say that there's one team in the Big Ten that clearly has superior athletic talent. Let's say that team is Ohio State. I'm not sure there's an appreciable difference from a talent standpoint between the next 4 or 5 teams in the Big Ten after Ohio State from a talent standpoint. What is this team? Go ahead, Jack.
Go ahead. No, I just was going to anticipate your question.
No, I mean, what is this team lacking in terms of getting that talent to max out during games?
I don't know if there's anything lacking at all. Because if you really watch all those other teams throughout the season, there can be times when they play poorly when they were expected to play well and vice versa. And what we've seen so far is simply a game where we thought they were going to play well and they played poorly, and we're judging the whole system based on that. Granted, you have to just throw out the ISU game because that's not a fair comparison. But everything pointed to us playing well against Missouri, and I can't explain, the players can't explain, the coaches can't explain why they fell flat. And yet at the same time, maybe a Purdue or a Minnesota or Michigan State or some of those, in fact, Michigan State fell flat this last week. It's going to happen to all of them. And I think what that the parity you're talking about, and I wouldn't agree that it's just one team, because Penn State is at least as talented as Ohio State, if not more so. And so those two are, I think, the cream of the crop this year. But the other, you know, six or seven below them, and you have to include Michigan, you have to include Northwestern, you have to include the way Purdue's playing, you probably even include them, almost everybody but Indiana. And even then, you know, they're 2-0. So, I mean, they all have some talent. The question is, how much depth of talent do they have? How much those guys are willing to go the extra mile when the pressure is on? How many could come back from adversity? Those are things you can't really judge ahead of time. So, last year, the guys we had on the team didn't overcome adversity very well. This year, I really, truly believe that they have the leadership that was lacking last year. They have the hunger that they didn't have last year, and there are a lot of factors that they have going positively for them that they had going against them last year. So theoretically, they could be one of those teams that ends up getting on a roll and succeeding. However, if we start getting some injuries to key personnel, like we've had the first couple weeks, then the exact opposite could occur, and some other team could rise up. But when you have a bunch of teams that are all relatively equal in ability, it's really a crapshoot.
I want you to think about, we're going to take a quick break if you would, Jack. I want you to think about the following four categories: special teams, penalties, turnover ratio, and defensive coverage schemes. And we're going to come back and talk about that. You can call Jack at 888-463-6748 or email us at talkingilini@yahoo.com.
Chicago Athletic Club is the number one athletic club chain in Chicagoland, according to the Chicago Tribune. For membership info, visit their Lincoln Park, Lakeview, Evanston, or West Loop locations, or call Pat Cunningham at 773-529-2024. Tell him Boz and Mr. G sent you, and receive 1 month absolutely free. That's 773-529-2024. Chicago Athletic Clubs, another great Illini sports experience.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll buy the car you want at RizzaCars.com.